We begin the current daf Masechta, the Sukkah daf Dalet. We begin on the bottom of daf Gimel Amud Beis. We begin two lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah that began this Masechta, which spoke about the different psulim invalidations that there are in the halachas of Sukkah. One of them was regarding that a Sukkah is not allowed to be higher than 20 amas, higher than the ground, which we spoke about in the previous daf, and exactly why that is an invalidation in the halachas of Sukkah. Now, as Rashi tells us, the Gemara now begins a series of different statements which were said in the, by the Bnei Yeshiva, those who were in the Yeshiva of the Beis Medrash of Ravashi, who he was the one that was Masad, that he organized the Gemara. Now, the Gemara continues throughout this daf, saying different piske halachas, different statements regarding this invalidation, specifically in this area of having a sukkah higher than 20 amos or lower than 10 tefachim. So the Gemara begins. If someone had a sukkah that was higher than 20 amos, now, we know, as we said in the Mishnah, that that's possible. However, ubala maita. Now, the person's coming to make it lower. He wants to make the ear space lower than 20 amas, because that way he'll have less than the psul, the invalidation of 20 amas, and then it'll be kasher sukkah. So what he does is he puts on the ground, to elevate the ground, he puts bekar muksasas, he put blankets and cushions, and therefore now the floor is higher, and now from the floor till the ceiling, to the roof, to the schach, is less than 20 amas. On that, the Gemara says, lo have a miyut. That is not considered diminishing the ear space of the sukkah, and therefore it's going to be possible. Now, the reason is because he's not going to leave these blankets and these cushions there for all 7 days, because it's going to ruin all his money, his property is going to get ruined. If you're going to have that, your blankets, everyone's going to sit on it and step on it, and it's going to get all muddy and get all dirty. So no one's going to leave their blankets there for 7 days. Hence, this is not considered as part of the structure. It's just something that you're adding into the ear space. So, however, we're still measuring from the bottom of the ground up to the schach, which is more than 20 amas, and therefore it's going to be possible. Now, we continue on the top of Dalam and Alv, where the Gemara tells us even more. The avagav debatlinu lekulu. Even if this person says, no, I am nullifying it. This has become the ground. There's a new ground. These blankets and these pillows are part of the ground for all 7 days. For Sukkot, no one's going to touch this. The ground is elevated. Now, from the ground to the schach is less than 20 amas. It should be kosher. Then the Gemara says, no, it's still going to be possible. From the butler daito eitzakalodim, which is a concept that's mentioned throughout Shas, because his thought process, what he's trying to do, is considered nullified regarding the thought process of all mankind, which is nobody does that. No one is mavatal, nullifies their blankets and says, you know what, this is becoming part of the ground. It's ground, and the ground is higher now, hence the sukkah itself is less than 20 amos. No one does that. And even if he's doing that, we don't consider that significant to affect actual this transaction to happen, as if it's becoming bottled to the ground, and therefore we still consider it as blankets and pillows, not as the ground. Hence the schach is higher than 20 amas from the ground, and therefore it's going to be a sukkah psula, and this will not be a way of being machshir, of making it kosher. However, the Gemara does continue with other types of ways of hiring the ground, making the ear space less than 20 amas. And what's important to keep in mind is that there seems to be like four different gradations and levels in the next cases of the Gemara. And that is, there is a concept called bittul, which is someone is verbalizing, he's actualizing his nullification of whatever it is that he's putting on the ground. Lower than that is what's called ein osad lefanoise. He doesn't plan on removing it. However, he didn't verbalize that. Lower than that is what's called stam, which we don't know if it's going to be removed or not. And then lowest than that, the fourth one is osad lefanoise, if he plans on removing it. Now, with that in mind, the Gemara moves into the next phase. Teven ubitli. If someone has straw and he nullified it, he verbalized and he says, look, for 7 days I'm taking this straw, I'm putting it on the ground, it's part of the ground. No one's going to touch this, it's not going to be used, the ground is higher now. On that, the Gemara says, have a meat. That is diminishing the ear space of the 20 amas, because now the ground has risen, because it becomes part of the ground. And therefore, because that's something that people would be mavatal, it's straw, people would put it on the ground. It's not like blankets and cushions. And therefore, it's going to be a kosher sukkah, because it's going to be less than 20 amas from the ground. But koshkin offer a bitlin. The Gemara says, and for sure, if you take dirt, if you take earth, and you put it on the ground, and you nullify it, you say, ah, this is becoming part of the ground. Now that's what ground is made out of. So if you add more ground, and you make it a higher ground, now it's less than 20 amas, it's going to be kosher sukkah. However, teven ve'ein osad lefanoisai. If let's say one puts down, he realizes they measured the sukkah, it's higher than 20 amas. So he takes straw, and he doesn't plan on removing it. And that is, he doesn't need it for the days of sukkahs. He plans on leaving it there. However, he didn't verbalize it and say, look, I am nullifying this straw and making it part of the sukkah. He put it there and he doesn't plan on putting it away. Or another case, which is similar, v'afar, if there's dirt where he's putting on the floor, stam, which means to say, we don't know if he's going to remove it or not. We don't know if he's going to need the dirt for something else or not. Maybe he's going to need it for some type of purpose. We do not know. Regarding these two cases of straw, which you don't plan on removing, but you didn't verbalize, or earth, where we don't even know if you're going to or not, but again, earth is more part of the ground. We would assume that it's part of the ground more than straw, but however, here it's even lower in the sense, we don't know for sure that we're not going to remove it, but we don't know. Regarding those two cases, machlekes Rabbi Yisrael Rabbanan. We have a machlekes Rabbi Yisrael Rabbanan. Now, Rashi does tell us that truthfully, it's not only these two cases that they argue about. They also argue regarding a case of earth where you do not plan on removing it in the future. That even there would be a machlekes, that according to Rabbi Yossi, it would still be batel stama, it would still be nullified, even if he didn't verbalize it. Whereas according to Rabbanan, that there, it would not become batel. Now, although we picked the case of offer stam, where it's even lower down, is because we wanted to tell you the chiddush of Rabbi Yossi, that even stam, where ein asad lefanoisai, most definitely Rabbi Yossi we would understand is going to say it's batel, because you don't plan on removing it, just like by straw he says that, which is more of a utility, less ground than earth. And that the Gemara wants to tell you that even when it's stam, where we don't know if he plans on removing it or not. And even there, Rabbi Yossi says that the earth will still be batel. However, Rashi explains regarding the case of straw, where that's fit for animals or to use for fuel or for cement, there, in the case of stama, where we don't know if he's going to remove it or not, if you're going to need it or not through the days of Sukkot, then there's not a bottle, even according to Rabbi Yossi. So we have three cases that they do argue about. Regarding straw, that it's not ultimately going to be removed. He's leaving it there, but he didn't verbalize it. Or earth, that also you don't plan on removing it. Then earth, even when it's stam, even if you don't know if you're gonna need it or not, you don't plan on for sure removing it, we just don't know. Regarding those two, three cases, we have a machlekes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan. Now, on that, the Gemara says, did not like we learn the Mishnah Masechta Olas that will illustrate this machlekes. Now, that Mishnah is talking about a case of Tumas Oihel. Now, what that is that if there's a source of tumah, let's say a dead body, a corpse inside a tent, inside a covered area, so that conveys tumah to the entire area. Now, however, if there is an ear space of at least a tefach from the source of the tumah to the roof, then the tumah remains in that area of the tent and it does not continue past the roof. However, if there's what's called tumah ritzutza, which is like a crouching tumah, which means it's like caged in, there's not even the ear space of a tefach from the source of the tumah, let's say the dead body, to the covering, to the roof, then that tumah actually goes out through the roof, so to speak, and it continues upward, and that's the halacha l'maish misina. Now, therefore, the following case will come out. As the Mishnah tells us, bias regarding a house that has, let's say, a dead person, or at least a kezias of a dead person, shemiluhu tevin oitzreris, where it was filled up with two cases we have to keep in mind, with either straw or with pebbles, which is the equivalent of the case of offer of the earth, ubitloi, and the person nullified it, said, I plan on keeping this here forever. Then mevutl, then we consider it as if it's batel. Hence, it's like closed up this house, which let's say there's a corpse, and we filled it up with earth or with straw all the way up to the roof. Now that has become, according to the Mishnah in Olis, as a tamiritzutza, because now there's no ear space, because you mevatl it, you're saying I'm leaving it forever, therefore it shoots through the roof. However, the inference is of that Mishnah, bitlu in, it's only if that one took that straw or even the tzoris, the earth, which is more earthy than anything else, and if he nullified it. Loi bitlu loi, but if you didn't nullify, you didn't verbalize saying, hey, I plan on keeping this here forever, then it's like as if it was removed, as if it's not there, as if it's not really earth. And therefore, there is an airspace over here because it's not totally closed up. You just have something here temporarily. However, it's not something that says there's no airspace. There's airspace, you just have something here temporarily. And therefore, then, it would not be boikas. It would not go through the roof. It would remain within the area of that bias. Now, that's what the Mishnah in Olay says. However, Tani Allah, we learned in the Braisa regarding that, the Rabbi Yossi Omer, he argues, he says, Tevin, regarding the first case of straw, Ve'ein osed lefanoisi, and as long as you do not plan on removing it, even if you did not mevatlid, you didn't verbalize the bittel, harehu ka'offer stam, which in his comparison of what it's like, he's alluding to the other case that he argues on Rabbi Yasi. So then it's like plain offer, which that means to say that it was not attributed whether you're going to remove it, aslef and nisei, or not. That is ubatl. That is both of these cases, I'm comparing one to the other, but both of these cases, Rabbi Yasi is saying that they are considered nullified, which he's arguing basically on both cases that the Tanakhama had said, that of the Mishnah Masechta Salis. He's saying, first of all, straw, you don't have to verbalize it. It's enough as long as enos lefanais. And offer, he says even more, not only do you have to verbalize it, but even if you don't have the maila of enos lefanais, that you for sure don't plan on removing it, even if we're not sure, it's still going to be bottled, because offer is offer, it's part of the earth. However, offer v'as lefanais, he says, if you have earth that you plan on removing it, then that is like, in this comparison he's teaching us the other halacha, then that's like unattributed straw, where there, as we explained from Rashi, that even Rabbi Yosi would agree that since it's fit for animals or for fuel, that now you're not even sure if you're even going to keep it here, you don't even have ein osel lefanaisai, it's tam, you might remove it, then v'loy batel, then those two cases are not going to be batel. Now, so as Rashi sums it up, he says that comes out that Rabbi Yisi is arguing both on the case of Tevin, of straw, and the case of Tzroiris, of the pebbles of the earth. Now, that's because the case of Tzroiris is the same as the earth. And now, the Tanakhama, which means the Mishnah Masechtas, always said that for these two cases of Tevin and for Tzroiris of offer, you need Bittel. On that, Rabbi Yisi responded in the Braisa that, look, regarding straw, if you know that in Asel Lefanaisi, no, you don't plan on removing it, then it's nullified by itself. You don't have to actually verbalize it. Now, regarding Tzreiris, regarding earth, then even Stam, even though we don't know if he's going to remove it or not, then Mistama, what we say, the default position is that it is Batel, because it's earth, it's ground, it becomes part of the ground, even if we don't know if you're going to end up taking it or not. Only if we know for sure that he plans on removing it, then we say that's going to be, even earth is going to be like Stam Tevin, which when you have straw, which, as we said before, then that's not going to be batel, because, like we said, straw, generally you would use because it has utility. So if you don't know if you're going to remove it or not, then we'd say it's not going to be batel. So then offer, if you plan on removing it, then it will have that same level, which then it will not become batel. So now Rashi sums up all the cases. So he says what we see from this is, regarding the halachas, which then has an application to our halachas of a sukkah, of minimizing the airspace, is regarding straw, and one is mevatlet, or if you have offer and you're mevatlid, everybody agrees, even the Rabbanan, that it's going to be batel because you verbalized, he says, look, I plan on leaving it. It's not like cushions and blankets that we said, where that, look, your batlid dies as kaladim, no one makes it part of the floor, but straw and earth, for sure, that if you verbalize, you say, look, I plan on leaving it here, so people put that on the ground, it becomes part of the ground, and in the case of tumas oil, it will close up the area because it's there to remain. Now, regarding plain straw, which we don't know what you plan on doing, and earth that you plan on removing, then everybody agrees that that's not going to be batel. It's not considered part of the floor or part of the house. However, regarding straw that you don't plan on removing, and earth in the same type of case, or even earth stam, where we don't know if he plans on taking it or not, that's the machlekes that according to Rabbi Yosi, it's going to be batel, and according to Tanakhama, it's not going to be batel. That's again, the application is for our halachas of a sukkah that's higher than 20 amos. If one goes ahead and has a similar case regarding straw or earth, one would run into this machlekes between Rabbi Yosi and Rabbanan regarding if, let's say he had tevin that he doesn't plan on removing, but he didn't verbalize it, then we would have the machlekes Rabbi Yosi Rabbanan if that would be considered that it's batel, hence it becomes part of the ground, and then it would be a kosher sukkah because it's less than 20 amos. Or would we say, like the Rabbanan, that it's not batel because he didn't verbalize it, and therefore we wouldn't see it as part of the ground, and therefore it would be higher than 20 amos, and it wouldn't be a kosher sukkah. Now the Gemara continues on, similar again regarding this case of when one has a sukkah that's possible because higher than 20 amos, with a way of trying to minimize that airspace of 20 amos and making a kosher. So the Gemara tells us, if one had a sukkah that's higher than 20 amos, the hutzin, and then the branches, which is from the schach, which the top of the schach is then hanging in, the branches are yodimitei chof amah, coming in within the 20 amos of the airspace of the sukkah. So then the halacha is as follows. Im tzilasam, if the shade of those branches that are hanging into the sukkah, amiruba mechamasam, are more than the sun, and that is had we taken away the schach that's above 20 amos, which is not kosher, because schach above than 20 amos is not kosher, so now all we see, so to speak, is the schach coming down that's hanging inside the sukkah below the 20 amos, which are these chutzin. If we only looked at that component of the schach, and that would create more shade than the sunlight, then kosher. Then it's going to be kosher because we're counting only what's within 20 amos from the ground, not 20 amos and higher. And therefore, since that is enough schach that would create the criteria of kosher schach, which is tzilas and merubim chamasa, it's going to be kosher. Vimla psula, but if not, if you wouldn't have enough hanging in within 20 amos, there would be those parts that are in the kosher area to make more shade than sun, then it's going to be invalid. Now, the Gemara brings a similar case in the reverse. If, let's say, one had a sukkah that was 10 tfachim high, which is the minimum measurement of height. However, now there are branches of the schach that are hanging inside the airspace of the 10 tfachim of the sukkah. So, Sava Baila Meima, Baya thought to say that just like we just said in the Gemara, that when regarding height, we will not diminish it to make it kosher where there's more sunlight than shade, and therefore we don't look at it as if it's there. So too, regarding the minimum height, we also will not consider it what's hanging in to make it invalid. And therefore, Abaye thought to say, if the, as we're saying regarding diminishing height, so one case of 20 amos to diminish height is to make it kosher. 10 tvachim, diminishing height makes it possible because it's going to be too small. Now, he thought to say, just like we said for the height sukkah, to make it lower and kosher, if it's going to be more chama than tzel, it's not going to be kosher, it's not enough coming down. So too, for the 10 tvachim, a small sukkah, that if you're going to have the branches coming in and it's not enough branches to make shade than more than the sunlight, then it's going to be kosher because we don't consider it halachically as if it's there, as if the schach is within 10 tvachim. Therefore, it's a kosher sukkah because it's only above 10 tvachim. Amalei Rava said, you're right from the component of the halacha of tzilasa and merubim chamasa, that what's coming down we don't view as qualification as the schach. You're right, the schach might be higher than 10 tfachim and kosher on that end. However, Amalei Rava hadiras ruchihi, this is an incompetent dwelling. Ve'ein odem dar b'diras ruchihi, no one lives in such a cramped quarters, and therefore, just from a different perspective, of dira perspective, of dwelling, the sukkah has to be a dira that one lives in for 7 days. Now, it might be a diras aroi, it might be a diras kava, but either way, it has to be a dwelling. Having branches coming down into your head, that is not going to be considered a dira, because a dira has to be quarters that you could live in that has a certain minimum measurements. Part of that is a height of 10 tefachim. So although regarding the halachas of schach, it's in the right area, because what's coming down is not enough to say the schach is lower. However, it's still going to come down in your head, and it's going to be cramped, and that's going to be invalidating the sukkah. Now the Gemara continues with what we were discussing about a sukkah that's higher than 20 amos and trying to minimize that to make it kosher. So ha'isa gevayim me'esrim amos. If the sukkah was higher than 20 amos, uvanova itzva. Now the person builds a platform. A platform is some type of a stone structure that's made out of bricks and cement. Now he makes this platform keneged defen emtzai, opposite the middle wall. Now as Rashi says, because generally what we mean middle, although generally our conceptualization of it is four walls, is a regular sukkah has three walls. As our Mishnah said, it just requires three walls to be a kosher sukkah. Now, therefore, that means the fourth wall is totally open. So the middle one is when you're coming in the open way, would be the one that you're facing. Now, if he builds the platform opposite the middle wall, al pnei kula, throughout that entire wall, which means to say that the edges of that platform will reach the two side walls, then, as some Gemaras have a picture that illustrates it, just regarding the walls and the platform, then if it's v'yesh ba, if there is in that platform a measurement of hechsher sukkah, enough to be the requisite shear of being a small amount of a sukkah, which is 7 tfachim and a little bit more, which is the measurement of a person's head, the majority of his body, and his table, then kasher, then the entire sukkah is going to be kasher. And the reason for this is because ultimately now, based on the itzvah, you have three kosher walls. Now, the reason is because the reason why it was possible is because it was higher than 20 amos. Now, when you build a platform, your ground is from the platform. That's not like a problem when you have cushions or blankets. You're actually, that's your bottom. Now, therefore, you're having three walls by having the itztava against the middle wall, which it goes to either wall on either side. So let's say facing north, you have on the east and the west, you have where it goes all the way. So you have east, west, and the north. That's going to be three walls, and therefore it's going to be kosher sukkah. Now Rashi adds on even more. He says, even the rest of the sukkah, where the platform is not there, will also be kosher and part of the sukkah. And the reason is because it's halacha of what's called pesel ha-yetzim min ha-sukkah, which is as long as you have a kosher sukkah, anything that comes out from that schach, that goes beyond that, even if you don't have a kosher arena of a sukkah, it still will be considered as an extension of the sukkah, and therefore it's going to be kosher. So therefore in this case also, although beyond that, the walls are higher than 20 amos because you don't have the platform, it still will be kosher because of the extension of that schach. Even if there were no kosher walls, it's still considered in that area of the sukkah, which starts with the kosher area of the itztva. However, umin hatzad, if let's say one builds the itztva, the platform, not on the middle wall, but actually on one of the side walls, then it depends. Then im yesh misvas itztva lekaisel, if there is from the edge of the platform to the other wall, which is on the other side of it, dalet amos, if it's more than four amos, then pesul is going to be invalid. And the reason is because ultimately with this platform, as some Gemaras have a picture that depicts this, you only end up with two walls. You have the wall that you're building on the side, and then you have the middle wall where the edge of the itztva reaches to. However, you don't have more than that. You have to have three walls to have a kosher sukkah. However, pachas me'arba amos ksheira, if it is less than a distance of four amos from the edge of your platform to the other wall, then it's going to be kosher. And the reason is, as the Gemara later on, Davav and Beis will tell us, that there's a halacha l'moshe misinai, that a sukkah becomes kosher by bending the wall up until a distance a little bit less than four amos. Therefore, we see that the schach that's attached to the other wall on the other end, as if it's part of the wall itself, and that is if it bends all the way to the edge of the itztva. And therefore, in such a case, over here, it's like you have the wall till the itztva, but from that other one, if it's within four amos, and therefore, since that wall extends there, you're going to have that third wall, and from that wall down to the itztva is less than 20 amos, as it is for those two walls that it's on the side of, and therefore it's going to be kosher. Now, the Gemara asks on this halacha, that my kamash malon, what is the Gemara teaching us over here? Damrina deif akuma, that we say that in the halachas of the halacha meisha misina, of the halachas of the sukkah, that we say that you bend the wall. But tanina, we learned that in the Mishnah later on, that says, bayis shenifchasa, regarding a house that the roof caved in. Now, their roofs in the times of the Gemara were flat, and they weren't slanty. Now, so therefore it was flat, and maybe it rained, and it caved in the middle. So v'sichach, then the person went, they put on kosher schach al gabov, on that area which could be considered like some type of a skylight now, which is open. He puts schach there. So the Mishnah tells us, im yesh min ha-kosel l'sichach, if there is from the wall to where he put the kosher schach, which means there's a distance from the wall on each side, dalet amos, then pesula, then it's going to be invalid because you don't have any walls. Hapachis mekam, but if it's less than dalet amos, then the Mishnah tells ksher, it's going to be kosher. And the reason is because now that the walls of the house become the walls for the sukkah. And although there's a non-kosher roof that separates between the schach that's in the middle of the roof and the walls, we see that part of the roof as if it's really an extension of the walls and as if the walls are bending. And therefore, we don't see it as, so to speak, schach pasul, invalid schach. Rather, we see it as part of the wall. And therefore, we see the schach that's kosher connected to the walls by extending the walls as if they're extending the roof to the walls as if it's an extension of the walls. So therefore, the Gemara is asking, what's the chiddush of this second component of having itztva min hatzad, that if it's less than four amos from the opposite wall, it will be kosher because it will consider as if you have that wall. How so? By bending the wall and seeing that part of the roof, which is not kosher because it's higher than 20 amos from the ground, as if it's part of the wall, and therefore the wall ends right where the itztva stops. So you have as if the wall is being moved over, so you have three walls on top of the itztva. So what's the chiddush if we already know that from the halacha of the Mishnah later on by Bayis Chanifchas? So now the Gemara says that no. Ma'od etema hasim hu, I would have thought to say that over there in the Mishnah later on that we say Daif Nakuma is because that wall over there is the Chaz Yila Daifin. It's fit to be a wall. And the reason is because those walls are not higher than from the shear of what a wall is kosher to be in the sukkah. The only thing is you just have to bend it to make it closer to come to the schach. But essentially it's a wall. So yes, there I would say that if you have a wall, which it is a wall, it's just too far from the schach, because the schach is in the middle of the skylight, in the middle of the room where the roof just caved in. You're putting in schach to make it into a sukkah. So then you would say, so you see that part of the roof as an extension of that wall that you have already, and therefore you'll say deif in the kumah. But over here, where the walls are not even, we wouldn't think they would be classified as walls. Because the whole purpose of why we're saying to bend them is to make them into walls into the first place. And the reason why they're not walls is because they're higher than the requisite shear of being a wall, which is higher than 20 amas. By bending them, then we'll make them into kosher sukkah walls. That, I would say, emulai, maybe that cannot be qualifying for the halach of deif and kumah, because it first has to be a kosher wall, and then just to make it closer to where the sukkah has to be, then we say deif and kumah to extend it throughout the roof. And that kumash one, that's a chiddush of what our Gemara was saying, is that even if it's not even a wall, and it only becomes the kosher sukkah wall by doing deif and kumah, by extending it together with the roof, that now, because there's an itzvah that's elevating the height of the floor, makes it into a kosher wall, because now the wall is less than the height of 20 amas. That's the chiddush of our Gemara, that even that will say deif and kumah to almost boin kecha, that creating the wall through the halacha of deif and kumah itself. Again, the Gemara continues on the same psul of higher than 20 amas. If the sukkah was higher than 20 amas, ubana itzdava be'emtziyusa, then he built the platform, not like the other two cases that the Gemara said before, not on the middle wall, not on the side wall, he builds it in the middle of the sukkah. So now the Gemara says, im yesh misvas itzdava ludeifin arba amas l'chal ruach v'ruach, if there's more, if there's dalet amas from the edge of the itzdava to all the walls that are around it, then psul, it's going to be invalid. Pachas me'arba amas k'sher, if it's less than four amas, then it's going to be kosher. Like Gemara asks, my kumash one, here for sure, what are we teaching? Tamrin deif nakuma, that we say that you bend the walls if it's less than four amas? But haino hach, that's exactly what we just taught before. Even if you'll say over here that the walls are not walls until you bend it, but we already said that already in the Gemara before. What's the chiddush of saying this again by having this to be in the middle? So now the Gemara says, ma detaimo deif nakuma meruach achas amrin. I would have thought to say that this halach of bending the wall, you say maybe from one side of a kol rach v'ruach loy, but to create from having no walls, just through the utility of the halacha meshmasin of deif nekuma on all four sides, I would say not. Kamash Malan, that even on all four sides, you could say the halacha of deif nekuma. You don't even have to have one regular wall. You could have all these halacha virtual walls of deif nekuma, which creates it into a kosher sukkah. Again, the Gemara continues on this halacha. This case, the other way. If it's less than 10 tefachim, the chakakpa, and then the person dug in, he carved out a pit in the middle of the ground of this smaller than 10 tefachim sukkah. Kedei lashlim lasar, to complete it to be 10 tefachim, which opposite where the pit is, then you have the height of 10 tefachim. And the pit itself had the requisite measurements of a sukkah in the length and the width. So now the Gemara says, im yesh misfas chakak ulekoyis legimel tefachim psula. If there is more, if there's at least three tefachim from the edge of this pit that he dug inside this small sukkah, let's say it's an 8 tefach sukkah, so it's possible, but he dug now down 10 tefachim or whatever it is, something to make it at least 10 tefachim high, so that makes, and he gave it the measurements of 7 and a little bit more of tefachim, making it the requisite shear of his sukkah. So that the Gemara says, if there's 3 tefachim from the edge of his pit to the walls of the actual sukkah, then it's going to be invalid. However, continue on to Amud Beis, Pachis Meshlesha Tvachim Ksherah. But if he made it less than 3 tvachim, that from the edge of his pit to the walls, then it's going to be kosher, based on the halachic principle of lavet, which that's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that we always consider something that's within the area of something else. If it's within 3 tvachim, we view it as if it's an extension, as the definition of lavet is sniff, which means to extend something from where it is. So therefore, in this case, if he made the edge less than 3 tefachim from the wall, we view it as if it extends to the walls, therefore it's going to be a kosher sukkah. Now, that's the Gemara asked the obvious question. Maishna hasam, what's the difference by the case of itzdava? The amrit pachas mi arba amas. We said that as long as less than 4 amas, let's say if it's like 8 feet, then we say it's going to be kosher because we view the edges as if it's near it. Umaishna hacha, why over here? By the case of guma of the pit, by the sukkah that's less than 10 tefachim, the amrit pachas mishleishet tefachim, where there we only said that it's only 3 tefachim that we allow it, but if it's going to be 3 tefachim or more, it's going to be invalid. Why? Why don't we say the same thing as the itzvah, that if it's less than 4 amas, we see it as if it's attached to those walls? So there the Gemara says, as similar to what we said before, hasam di isila daifin. There, when we have the itzvah, even if we say it's higher than 20 amas, it's still a wall, because any wall that's not lower than 10 tefachim is considered a daifin, and therefore, even if it goes up to the sky, although maybe halachically for the halachas of sukkah, it's not going to be a wall, but it will be a valid wall. It's a wall that goes up, and therefore, we'll say that parches ma'ar ba'amasagya, if it's less than 4 amas, then that's enough. Because up until 4 amas, a little bit less than that, that's the halacha l'meshmes Sinai of Deifin Akuma. That if you have a wall, then we'll say that that wall will bend over to the roof and extend to where we are. However, hacha over here, where the sukkah is less than 10 fachim, where you don't even have the definition of Deifin on those walls. Rather, it's only now that l'shavi l'deifin, that you want to create and turn it into a wall. So therefore, the fact that we don't have a wall, we cannot apply the halacha l'meshmes Sinai of Deifin Akuma, because Deifin Akuma was only said regarding a halachic wall. And therefore, parches m'shlesha tefachim, when it's less than 3 tefachim, there we always apply the halacha l'meshmes Sinai of Lavid, where we eat the extension. Then yes, Eloi, but if not, not. And that is because we must have a wall to say that that wall will extend and then create the halacha that it's going to be near the halachically kosher area, where in the case of Itztava, it's less than the height of 20 amas. But here, by the case of the Guma of the pit, where the walls are less than 10 tefachim, it's not a daifin at all in any respect. And therefore, we're creating the wall, for that we can't use daifin akuma, and therefore we can only use the principle of lavid, which is only less than 3 tefachim. Again, continuing on this halacha, the Gemara says again, if it was higher than 20 amas, uvanava amud, now he built a beam which has a height of 10 tefachim, where here we're not going like the other cases of Itztava, we're not trying to utilize the walls at all. The walls are more than Dalet Amos away from where this beam is. However, v'yesh by hechsher sukkah, this beam itself has the requisite measurements of a sukkah, and that is, in the top of the beam has an area of 7 and a little bit more tefachim, by an area of 7 and a little bit more tefachim, which has the width and the length of what a sukkah is. And it also has a height of 10 tefachim, the beam itself. So some of the Baal HaBeim, Abaye thought to say as follows, good asik mechitzasa. Now, the literal translation of that means to say that extend upward its walls. Now, what that translates into is that the pillar, the beam itself, has walls on the outside of it going up from the ground up to where it is. Now, the halachic principle of good asik would say that we extend those walls, which are 10 tefachim high, upward around the perimeter of that beam itself. And since it has a height of 10 tefachim, so we consider as if whoever is on top of the beam, as if he's in a sukkah on top of his head, because you have all the requisite halachas of a sukkah. You have the measurements of the length and the width, which is on the top of the beam, it has the area of a sukkah. Now, you have the walls, because based on the principle of good asik, we view the walls virtually as if they're going up above him. And you also have the schach atop your head that's kasher, because now that you made the area that you're higher, 10 tefachim from the ground, now the schach is no more 20 amas above your head, above where you are on top of the pillar, on top of the beam, because that's you just diminished that by 10 tefachim. So Abaye thought to say, this will be a kosher sukkah. Just by having the good asik making the walls, you have the top of the thing as the area of the sukkah, and now the schach is less than 20 amas above your head. So I'm like Rava said to Abaye, he said, "Be'inon mechitzis hanikaris v'laka." Although halachically, you're right, this is going to be considered as if you have walls based on the principle of good asik. However, for the halachas of sukkah, one needs to have recognizable walls. And virtual walls will not work, because you ultimately, again, have to be living in the dira. And although halachically you are living in one because you have walls, but for sukkah that's not enough, and therefore you have to have actual walls and it won't be a kosher sukkah. Because although you're having these virtual walls of good asik, you're not sitting in any walls because the walls all around you are more than Dalet Amos away from you, so we don't view it as if it's part of your sukkah that you're in, which is this less than 20 amas on top of this beam. And since you don't have walls, it's not going to be a kosher sukkah. Now related to this, the Gemara continues on this theme of good asik. If someone stuck into the ground 4 poles, and he put schach on these 4 poles. So we have machlekes. Rabbi Yaakov Machshir, he says it's going to be kosher sukkah. Chum Paisim Chum say it's going to be invalid. Now we have a machlekes, how to define their machlekes. Amar Rav Huna says, machlekes al svas hagag. Their whole machlekes was, if these four poles are at the edges of a roof, and that is, in such a case, you have the walls of the house that are below, right beneath, between the area of where the person put the poles. Rabbi Yaakov Savar Amrinan Godask Mechitzasa. Rabbi Yaakov thought to say, the reason why he says it's a kosher sukkah is because we can utilize the principle of viewing as the walls extend upwards. And as Rashi explains, here he holds we don't have to have Mechitzas Hanikar. So either because he holds that not like the way Rabbi told Abai that you have to have actual walls, or actually like Tosis says, because here we will consider the walls of the house extending upward as if you have what's called Mechitzas HaNikaris, that it's recognizable walls and not just virtual walls, at least more than the case of the Amid, of the beam, because they are Nikaris, where are they recognizable, these walls that contain the area within it, in the house below. So therefore, since we view them as actual walls, not just virtual walls, where do we see the actual walls? In the house. So they are walls. So therefore, we could extend it upward and therefore up on top of the roof where you don't actually see it. It's not so much as a virtual wall because it is an actual wall within the house. And therefore, Rabbi Yaakov thought to say that that will be a kosher sukkah based on the principle of good asik. Rabban Savri le Amri good asik michitzas. However, the Rabban hold that we do not say the principle of extending the wall upward. However, Ravuna says that regarding if one had made this in the middle of the roof, where you don't have beneath it the walls of the house surrounding it, then everybody would agree that it's going to be invalid because you can't make a sukkah out of four poles to make it into four walls. So that's Ravuna's interpretation of the machloikis. It wasn't just having four poles. It was four poles at the edges of the roof, where there you have gudasik mechitzasa, where, as Tais explained, you might even have actually mechitzas hanikarais, because from the area within of the house, recognize the walls around them, and therefore you could extend it up, and that's where it's going to be kosher. But in the middle of the roof, where you don't have anything of good asik, so just four poles is not going to make it a kosher sukkah. From Nachman Amar, he says, no, be'emtza hagag machlekes. They were actually arguing regarding in the middle of the roof, and just by the virtue of the four poles, Rabbi Yaakov said it's going to be kosher. And as the Gemara will explain shortly, we're talking about that the width of each pole is a tefach in every direction. It's a tefach squared. So therefore, you ultimately have on every single pole, you have a wall going from north to south, and a tefach of a wall going from east to west by each one. And therefore, he, as the Gemara explained why that is, considered that as these are kosher walls. However, the Rabban held that no, you can't make a sukkah kosher only if you have two halachic walls, as the measurement of the sukkah itself has to be, and the third one could be even the tefach. So their machlokes was regarding according to Rav Nachman in the middle of the roof. Nothing to do with good asik. Actually, it was dependent on can we view just the poles themselves as kosher walls. Now the Gemara, however, does ask on Rav Nachman's opinion, Ibailahu, they wanted to know, be'emtza hagag machlokes, does he say that Rabbi Yaakov and the Tanakama only argue regarding the middle of the roof? Aval asvas hagag divya kol ksheir, but on the edge of the roof, everyone would agree that it is kosher, based on the principle of good asik, and as Taisa explained, we could understand very well that everyone would agree here it's kosher, because here it's even mechitzas hanikaris from the dwellers that live inside the house itself. A dimor, maybe what Rav Nachman meant was bein bezu u bein bezu machlekes. No, that not only like Rav Huna, not only do they argue at the edge of the roof, but even in the middle of the roof they argue, that even there Rabbi Yaakov would say it's kosher based on the beams itself, but not that Rabbanan would argue on the case of the emtza gag. In other words, the edge of the roof is basically the question. Do they argue on the edge of the roof, and also they argue in the middle of the roof? That is, they argue both on the principle of the poles themselves being walls, and they also argue regarding good asik. Or do we say that no, that they only argue in the middle of the roof? However, they would agree to the edge of the roof that would be kosher based on good asik. Another thing I'm going to say, take it, let it stand. It's not clear, according to Rav Nachman's interpretation, do they only argue in the emtza gag and they agree at the edge, or would the Rabbanan even argue not only in the emtza gag, but even on the edge of the roof? So then that was the machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, how to interpret the machlokes Rav Yaakov and the Rabban. Now the Gemara asks Meisvei, the Gemara refutes Rav Huna's interpretation that he says that no one says that if one would stick in these four poles in the middle of a roof and put schach on that would be kosher. Another Gemara says, we learn the Braisa that says, no, it's dalet kundisin ba'aretz. If someone sticks four poles into the ground, v'sichich al gabon, they put schach on top of that, Rabbi Yaakov machsher. Rabbi Yaakov says it's going to be kosher. V'cham pais macham says it's going to be pasul. Now the Gemara says, clearly, v'aretz, the ke'emtza gagdami, earth, is like the middle of the roof, where you don't have any walls beneath it to say good asik. And yet, for Kamach Shem Yaakov, and still Reb Yaakov says it's going to be kosher. So the Gemara says, this obviously refutes Reb Huna's interpretation that he said that in the middle of the roof, everyone holds it's going to be possible, and Reb Yaakov is only saying the edge of the roof because of good asik. He would see clearly that even when it's on the ground, four poles will be kosher. Must be it's the poles itself, like Emtza Gag, that will make it kosher, like Reb Nachman, not like Reb Huna. Now, Va'oid, the Gemara continues and wants to make another inference from the Braisa we just quoted to ask another refutation on Reb Huna. Because it's mashma from the Braisa that be'emtzahu depligi, that it's only in the middle of the roof that they argue, which is the case the Braisa there is talking about, which is on the aretz, on the earth itself. Avla svas hagag, but it would be mashma, the inference would be, but if it was on the edge of the roof, we would have another component of saying that it's kosher, based on the principle of good asik mechitzasa, divi hakol kshera, that there everyone would agree that it's kosher. Let's say we should refute Rav Huna on 2 points. One, like the one we said before, regarding that he said that in the emtz hagag, in the middle of the roof, everyone holds his puzzle, that we see in the Braisa clearly that even that they do argue about. Rav Yaakov will say that it's kosher even on the ground, like emtz hagag, where you have no good asik. But then moreover, the Gemara wants to say, we should refute him regarding that he said, Rav Huna said that it's a machloikis al svas hagag. But we could infer from the Braisa that the edge of the roof, everyone would hold its kosher. And that's where they only argue regarding the ground, where you don't have good asik. But the edge of the roof where you would have good asik, there everyone would agree that it would be kosher. Now the Gemara says, no. Amlech Rav Huna, that Rav Huna would say that's not a refutation. Because you could say, pligi be'emtza gag, truthfully they argue, you're right, on that you refuted me, they argue on the case of the middle of the roof, which is the case that the Braisa uses of the ground. But b'hu adinat svas hagag, truthfully the Rabbanon would even argue on the edge of the roof and say that it's possible. Now behind the kamifugi be'emtza gag, but the reason why they argue regarding a case of the middle of the roof, which is what the earth is, like at that type of case, which you don't have any walls, is lahidiyacha koichad Reb Yaakov. That's just coming to teach you the chiddush, the koichad de hetera of Reb Yaakov, that fila be'emtza hagag nami machshav, that even on the middle of the roof, he says it's kosher, we're there. You don't have any principle of good asik. Even in such a case, he said it's going to be kosher, again, based on a different principle, which the Gemara right now will explain. So the Gemara comes to explain Reb Yaakov's opinion. From what halachic principle would it be kosher by having four poles and putting schach on top of that? If you don't have good asik, where do you have the kosher walls that a sukkah has to have of three walls? So tell me, we learn the braisa. Na'atz arba kundisin ba'aretz. If a person sticks in four poles into the ground, now the case that this braisa is talking about are talking about round poles, as we'll illustrate shortly. So a person puts in four round poles in the ground, v'sichich al gabah, and they put schach on top, but it's open throughout. It just has these four poles in the corners. Reb Yaakov Omer, he says, Royin kol, so we view the entire width of those poles, that she'ilu yechkoku, that had they been carved out, and that one would take away the width of the rounded part of those poles, and he would square it off. Then after that, he squared it off. V'yechalku, and then were he to then go ahead and split it, and that is, he would make a tefach in either direction. In other words, after he would square it off, he would then split it from the inside as if he would make an L-shaped out of it, which would make two different walls out of it. So therefore, if it was standing up this pole, it would have one wall going from east to west and another one going from north to south. And even after that process, he would be squaring off this round pole, then he would be carving it out into making it into L-shape. The yesh ben tefach lekan and tefach lekan. And then he would be left with a tefach in either direction. Then nidayna mishum diyomid. Then we would classify that based on the principle of diyomid. In other words, we would say it's kosher, similar to halacha we have in Masechetis Erevin, which is there's a special dispensation given for what's called pasi berois, which the oiler or golem would have to have water for their animals, and however these pits are in Shasarab, they would have no way of drawing the water for their animals. So there was a special halacha that said that we're allowed to make four diyumdin. Now, the term diyumdin comes from diyoy amudin. The word diyoy means two, and amudin is poles, which means to say that you can make four, on the four corners, you can make, each corner has a diyumid, which literally means two poles. Now, the way it's two poles is this L-shaped bracket. So you have these L-shaped brackets, almost like a picture frame, having on the edges these L-shaped brackets, but everything is open on either side. So as long as you have these diyumdin on all four corners, so then it's going to be kosher, as long as you have a tefach lekan and a tefach lekan, which it's not like the case of as Erevin, as we're going to see. However, as long as you have a tefach in either way, then it's going to be kosher. Vimlav, eini den mishum diyumdin. However, if it doesn't have after you see these rounded poles squared off first, then carved out to make an L shape, if it doesn't have a tefach in either direction, then it won't be kosher for the halacha of the yumid. Because as Rabbi Yaakov explained, the yumid is sukkah tefach. To have the halachas of the yumid for the halachas of sukkah, it's enough to be a tefach. Now what he's addressing is, the Gemara is telling us, is not like the case of pasi b'rois, where although there the halacha was a special dispensation given that you don't have to have actual walls, it's enough to have these diyumdin, it had to have an amma in either direction. Where here we only require a tefach, which Tais explains us the reason is, because the halacha of Pasei Berois was said regarding the mechitzas, their walls for halacha of Shabbos, which is very stringent, there we had to have an amma in each direction, here we only have to have a tefach in either direction. Now Rashi just tells us that it must be that obviously Rabbi Yaakov is talking about a case of when the poles are round, because or else it wouldn't say yichkaku bichalku, it would just say yichalku. Obviously we have to say first square it off, then once you squared it off, then you could carve it out. So then if it has this tefach in either direction of the L-shaped bracket, so you have a tefach here, you have so these four poles, that is how we're going to be creating four halachic walls, based on the principle of the yumid, which is a special heter, as we know, it's regarding the halachas of Erevin. Rabbi Yaakov holds we can do the same for halachas of Sukkah, as long as you have a tefach in either direction. However, that's Rabbi Yaakov's opinion. And they argue, they say, until you have two halachic walls, in other words, along the length of the entire Sukkah, and the width will have one for the length and one for the width, and then the third wall could be kosher, even a tefach, because that's the halacha l'mishmei Sinai, that the third one's kosher even the tefach. However, they argue on this special heta that Rabbi Yaakov is saying that one could do for the halachas of Sukkah. That we didn't say. Has to have two full-fledged walls, and the third one could be a tefach. But Rabbi Yaakov, again, is coming from a new principle of diyumid, which is creating that it, since it's within that area it's as if it's a wall going in either direction, the tefach, then if it's within that area, then he holds that it's going to be kosher. And again, that was like Rav Nachman's opinion, that's not based on the principle of kunasig, but rather it's based on the principle of diyumdin. Now the Gemara continues with our Mishnah. The next psul, the next invalidation the Mishnah told us was, v'she'eni gevoy asar tefachim. If the height of the sukkah is not at least 10 tefachim from the ground, then it's going to be pasul. Now the Gemara says, Menolan, where do we know this from? Sayyidina, we learned that Rav, Rav Chanina, Rav Yechanan, Rav Chaviva Masnu, they taught us the following statement that the Gemara is going to bring. However, the Gemara does qualify for us that Bekula Seder Moed, in the entire Seder of Moed, which is what we're learning now, Kolki Haizugu, whenever this pair of Tamid Chabim are mentioned, so there are Amayram that Chiluf Rabbi Yechanan, they take out Rabbi Yechanan from that pair of who said this, Umayli Rabbi Yechanan, and in place they put Rabbi Yechanan. But be that as it may, whichever one it is that from this group was Rabbi Yechanan or Rabbi Yechanan, they said the following halacha. Oren Tisha, we know the height of the ark in the Kodesh Kodeshim was a height of 9 tefachim, because the Torah tells us it was v'ama v'chetzi, it was an am and a half in its height, and the am is 6 tefachim, so it had a height of 9 tefachim. V'kaparis tefach, the covering of the Aron HaKodesh itself had a thickness, had a height of a tefach. Harikanasar, so there's a height from the ground to the top of the Aron was a height of 10 tefachim. Uksivin, this says a pasuk in Shemayis that Hashem told Moshe, when they added the L'choshom, that I will make myself known to you over there. V'dibarti itcha me'al ha-kapayris, and I will speak to you from on top of the kapayris. Now we continue on top of Haman Aleph. V'tanyu l'in abraiser, Rabbi Yisar, he explains in the context of that pasuk, that me'ilim l'yor d'shchina l'mata. The shchina never came lower than that, lower than 10 tefachim. It says, from on top of that I will talk to you. So the shchina will come above 10 tefachim, but not below that. And similarly, v'lo'ola Moshe v'liyol amarm, Moshe and Eliyahu, although they went up, they didn't go all the way up to the top. So Shechinah doesn't come all the way down to the bottom, and humans do not go all the way up to the top. Shem, like it says in Pasuk in Tehillim, Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem, the heavens is heavens for Hashem, V'aretz Nasan L'mnei Adam, however, earth is given for mankind, that although there could be some type of synthesis, but there is some separation, Shechinah does not come below 10, and mankind does not go all the way up to the top. However, one thing we do see is that the Pasuk says that the Shechinah comes to down to within 10 tefachim. So we see that the area of 10 tefachim is considered its own domain, its own area, which is the area that we're considering of the arts and salam ne adam, and therefore we see that to be considered a separate area, it has to have a halachic area of 10 tefachim, and that's why we know that the walls of the sukkah, to be considered a separate domain, to be considered a dira, has to have at least a height of 10 tefachim.